Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering.
Hello everyone and welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse. I'm Danielle and I'm joined by Hannah. Hi Hannah.
Hi Danny, hi listeners.
So today I'm going to give a quick trigger warning about our topic. We are going to be the Netflix hit Baby Reindeer. So there's going to be discussion of sexual assault, stalking and some other quite tricky issues. So if this is going to be upset, do switch off now, but join us at a later date. So Hannah, both of us have watched this series and there's been lots of things on Twitter and social media in general about this. So for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, do you want to give us a brief overview?
Yeah, thanks, Danny. So as you mentioned, the series is called Baby Reindeer and it is on Netflix. And yeah, we both watched it this week and we both actually said to each other, didn't we? Wow, this would be a really good thing to do a podcast on. And it's based on an adaptation of a play by Richard Gadd. And it's actually based on a true story. And the actor who plays the main character actually plays himself. So this story, this experience actually happened to him. I think it was in around 2015. He wrote a one-man play about his experience in 2019, I believe it was, and now it is a hit on Netflix. And so this series, it's a really tough and hard-hitting watch. At first, it comes across as sort of a dark comedy, which it definitely does have some funny aspects to it. Richard Gadd is actually a comedian and an actor, so it definitely has the aspect to it, but it does explore some really, really tricky subjects, mostly about abuse and sexual assault. And so what I really liked about it, although it was, you know, a really gut-wrenching series to watch at times, it really explores and illustrates the way that the cycles of abuse can perpetrate and how this may not be very obvious to someone who hasn't experienced abuse before, but it really does, from a different point of view that I've never seen portrayed on any TV series or anything that talks about abuse before, I thought it was really interesting. It really does show the different ways that abuse can affect someone that's not obvious to the outside observer at first and maybe makes no sense to someone who hasn't had any experience with abuse before.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, I started watching it and I was halfway through the first episodes and I just wasn't really getting it wasn't really grabbing me, and I thought, no, I'm gonna stick with it, because I could see that there was a lot on social media and especially Twitter specifically in relation to what we saw. And yeah, by episode two I was absolutely gripped.
Yeah, me too.
And one of the things that I thought about is quite often in our roles we talk about, you know, gender, so that, you know, they'll talk about how the media, if an abuser is a man, they'll, in the media, they'll be called a paedophile. But if the abuser is a woman, the wording is often nowhere near as serious. If it says, for example, a male young child and a female, it's, you know, it's always normally referred to sort of sex and things that, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as serious. And I guess I'm dragging this point out. But in this, the way that I felt this related is you see instances where the stalker character, Sir Martha, is turning up at his place of work, you know, not leaving, spending hours there. And his other colleagues and friends in the bar are kind of joking with him. Now, I thought it was very well portrayed, because actually, if that had been a female in her workplace, I think it would have been taken a lot more seriously just in general. So that was one point that I thought was played out quite well, to see that people's reactions. And even when there was a point that he reports to the police. So for the viewers who haven't seen it, for the listeners who haven't watched it yet, you see it kind of jumps back and forth. So he does report to the police and then you find out it took him so long to report. It's because of the other things that have happened to him, and he can see that perhaps Stalker is not very mentally well.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I thought was fantastic about this episode, and I think it's episode four, is that you see his previous sexual abuse, and it's by someone who he is obviously looking up to because he's struggling and he wants to get into the comedy world, and then somebody takes an interest in him, and it's somebody who's written things before, so he's already looking up to him. And then it becomes a position where this individual basically says, I'll help you with your career, I'll help you with your scripts, to assist me with other alcohol and drug, for quite clear what's happened. And you can see he's kind of questioning himself, and this obviously goes on over a long period. And again, I think the real strength in how this has been written is to show that lots of elements of his life then break down. So he loses the relationship with his girlfriend because he can't be intimate then. Yeah. And then he struggles with his career, and just everything, it kind of falls apart around him. And we can see that with clients. And one of the things that I thought was that I watched this, and people I've spoke to who don't work with sexual abuse survivors were saying, well, why did he go back? Why did he go back? Yeah. The first time, why did he go back? And we know very much so that people question when they've been sexual abused. Was that what I was wanting? Did it really happen? We question ourselves on what actually happened, because quite often, especially in the series, you see him waking up having taken drugs or alcohol, and so he's not sure, and you're clear he's not quite sure at the start, at least. So I thought the series really covered really important topics, and hopefully, as we always say in this podcast, it would get people talking about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree, Danny, with what you're saying. As people who work with survivors of sexual abuse, I think, I don't know if you were the same, but I sort of recognised before we saw his flashback scenes, I kind of was even having conversations with my partner as we were watching it, saying, well, I think it might be because of this, because as someone who, my partner who doesn't work with survivors, was kind of questioning, as you were just saying, well, why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense. And I was kind of clocking, thinking, well, maybe it's because of this reason. And so as someone who works with survivors, I really appreciated the way that this was portrayed. I don't know if you felt the same, because it was very natural, I felt. And I guess it's because he was acting out his own experience, and he is a survivor of abuse. It was really refreshing to see a programme of abuse be portrayed like that. And obviously, at first, this appears to be a series about stalking predominantly. However, as it progresses, we do see lots of important themes of sexual abuse be explored, you know, sexual abuse as well as stalking, all the mental health issues that come along with that, trauma, and all of these different aspects, which was really nice to see portrayed in that way.
And you're right in regard to saying, if you watch this series with but don't work with sexual abuse survivors in any format, there was one stage where once what had happened in regards to the sexual abuse by the older male writer happened, the main character starts to put himself in more risky, and that's what he says in the description, himself in more risky positions and sex in public places and things like that. And that can be quite common in people wanting to take back their power. I read one of the articles, The Guardian, by Jeffrey Ingold, in regards to how this series actually has struck a painful chord for gay and bi men who, you know, grooming and rape are much more common than perhaps are discussed in those groups. Because as we always say, stats, and I did another article in regards to this not long ago, stats are very much based on straight white women rather than the huge demographic that we have now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it also explores grooming as well. So there is just so much to this. And I really enjoyed his monologue throughout the series, because it just gave a really real perspective of someone who was going through that experience and explaining it. And it was just really refreshing. And as you say as well, it was really nice to see this portrayed about a gay or bisexual man, because that's not something that's portrayed enough. Yeah. And, you know, it was portrayed with such grit and realism. And so I think this is a really important series to raise awareness. And I'm really pleased how well it's taken off and how much attention it's getting, because it's a really important topic that needs to be spoken about more.
And, you know, even the elements, it's been so well done, even the elements when he does report police and the police sort of, you know, and that may have been played out to be more dramatised, but, you know, sort of drags him away. And it's only when he says it's somebody who's got a track record of it that they take it seriously. Whereas we know with survivors, quite often people don't report. So you could have somebody who's offended multiple times, but actually you're the first person who has reported it.
Yeah.
And you're right, in regards to grooming, we never see in mainstream TV or, you know, soaps or anything like that, you know, adult grooming.
Yeah. It's especially an adult male.
An adult male, exactly. So, and I think this series has got so much traction. I think it's number one. While our listeners are listening to this, it's still number one. And basically everybody that I know is talking about it. In the gym, we're talking about it. We've been talking about it. So it really has actually got a really far outreach so far. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. And I just think what a fantastic thing for him to do, you know, Richard, that himself. Because at first I was thinking, God, this must be so difficult for him to do. But actually, I bet it was quite therapeutic and some sense and for him to, because I saw him do an interview, I think it was on This Morning, and he was saying, you know, it's actually, I feel in control, and being able to tell his story, it must be really empowering for him.
Yeah. And obviously years of work has gone into this, and Netflix have used different advisors to make sure what areas are covered, really. And there are specific support groups in regards to male survivors of abuse, and we can link those on our notes for this podcast. But I really hope that it keeps the conversation going on this.
Yeah, me too. And you know, I hope we haven't given too many spoilers, because I really would encourage everyone to go and watch this. It's not glamorized in any way, it's not an easy watch by any means, but you know, nothing's done for the shock value of it, which is what I really love about it. It's just raw and real, and so I'd really encourage all of our listeners to go and watch it.
And as I say, I thought that the first episode was quite slow, but actually, once I got into the second, I was gripped by it. To the extent that by the end, I was like, oh, I'm quite not self-interested, but it ended in such a way, so we won't spoil that for anyone. But I must watch. But obviously, there are major trigger warnings in it. So if this podcast is causing you any concern, I probably wouldn't recommend you.
Definitely watch with caution. And obviously, it also explores themes of stalking and harassment as well as abuse. So there's that whole other aspect to it as well, which is again really interesting and insightful.
It'll be interesting to see the statistics that come out after this in regards to reports of abuse of this nature, because we quite often say when something has been really popular in, you know, the TV world, you normally see certain charities or helplines have a lot more calls and support sought. So hopefully, you know, for writer, by doing this and going through this process, even if it helps one person or two people, kind of fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully it will also give the message up, because, you know, barriers were really explored in this series, I feel like. And I know you mentioned, you know, we don't know, obviously, with the police, obviously it's based on a true story. We don't know what maybe was added, you know, for dramatic purposes. But in any event, it definitely illustrated really well barriers that are in place, especially for maybe gay and bisexual men and men as a whole, and reporting this kind of abuse. So hopefully people can take that away as well, because we also saw his friends in the pub sort of laughing and joking about it as if it wasn't serious. So even just for everyday watchers, if they can take that away from it.
I mean, there are definitely points in it. Like I was sort of thinking, just say so there's an element where his stalker ends up in his house and is befriending the person that he lives with. And so he gets home after a day's work, and she sat in the kitchen and then ends up having to stay the night because she's drank too much alcohol. And I remember thinking, say something to a landlady. So just explain, you know, so as a watcher, you can then just see why he constantly doesn't, and the struggle that he's constantly in. And it's like his world is just closing in.
It's so powerful in that way, because I was the same, again, watching it with my partner. We were almost talking to TV at times saying, why are you doing that? Or just do this, or just do that. But by the end, it makes so much sense. And you just feel so sad and emotional, and you really understand why he did what he did at times. And so it was just fantastic.
And it's also good to show that, like, that's human nature. How one person reacts to a scenario doesn't mean that that's how another will. And so, and it's always very easy for you on the outsider or with hindsight to say, you should have done that, or, you know, I could have done that and that. But, you know, in that moment, you can just see, and it really does, the feelings are really there. So, you know, I almost wish I could watch it again.
And obviously at this time, because he's again said this in an interview, you know, at that time, he was in a really bad place mentally. He wasn't receiving any help. He hadn't really dealt with any of his trauma. And he has actually said, you know, I've now received help. And if this happened to me again, hopefully I would deal with it in a completely different way. And so just again shows the importance of, you know, seeking support and reaching out.
Yeah. So anyone who's obviously been affected by this, we will link some charity links as well to our website. And if anyone wants to get in touch with us, of course they can. So thank you very much, podcast listeners. Thank you, Hannah. And we will be back next week.
Yeah. Thanks, Danny. Thanks, listeners.
Thank you for this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.